We are live from the Pullman National Monument. Our debut show today, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Lynn Hughes, founder of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. This show is a unique global cast magazine format talk radio show, and we are very pleased to be here hosted on this fabulous network. My special guest today is Dr. McIntyre Evans, cultural anthropologist, media specialist, ethnology research expert, and much more. And we're going to talk today about all things cultural economic development, i.e. tourism. We are very pleased to be here, and we are thrilled to be launching the premier show of Live from the Pullman National Monument in Chicago, Illinois. Today's program is underwritten by Hughes Peterson Publishing and My Mind Spa for Advancing Human Potential. Today, we will begin with talking about the Pullman National Monument, giving you a little bit of a background on that. For those of you who may or may not know, the Pullman National Monument is one of the most recent National Park Service special designations in Chicago, Illinois, designated in February of 2015 by President Barack Obama. The Pullman National Monument is the noted historic Pullman district in Chicago, Illinois, that for decades has been known as a National Historic Landmark District. And we are going to be talking today about all of the things, all the benefits, the good, bad, and the ugly, if you will, of a National Park Service designation and what that means and what it can mean for a community. And one of the first thing that it means is what we call cultural economic development. And cultural economic development is just another name or another facet of tourism in this country, which is one of the last bastions of economic empowerment for ordinary people. And when I say ordinary people, that means that cultural economic development offers opportunity. Cultural economic development offers opportunity, I say again, because it is that opportunity is not governed by politics. It's not governed by how much money you have. It is not governed by who has to get permission to take part. It is basically cultural entrepreneurship. And so it offers the opportunity for those of us or those of you who may be listening, who have ideas for projects or businesses that you may want to do. It may be your dream, but you are under the impression that you cannot do it because the banks won't underwrite you, and all of those interesting kinds of things, all of which that happens particularly in instances where there is small business development. And good, like it or not, small business development is what is keeping this country moving, because corporate America and the large businesses are well established, and they are where they are and will be. But what provides additional movement and growth in this country is small business development. And so those are the kinds of things we're going to talk about, some the specifics of some of those kinds of things today. And that's why our guest, Dr. McIntyre Evans, will be beneficial to the concept of cultural economic development. And we're going to get some input from her on some of the avenues that are available in cultural economic development, talk about some of the people who have written about, discussed about, in this country. So, Dr. Evans, welcome to Pullman.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. I had no idea we were going to have so much fun today. But there are a lot of things live in Chicago in the Pullman National Monument. That opportunity has opened up a wellspring of other human potential systems and great places for people to understand that 90% of that human potential that they have is never used, and that's that creative part of them to be able to build and to explore the things outside of the capitalistic society, which will bring you right back in the capitalistic society with many more benefits. So I'm really excited about the fact that we've got this brand new historical district now becoming a national monument in the national park systems. And I was wondering, you know, when you were first moving into that area by forming the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, did you ever anticipate that those things we learned from the workforce of the Pullman Porters would just work right into what's happening today with the national monument development?
I can honestly say I did not. When I went to that area, it was specifically for real estate speculation. It had nothing to do with a museum. And to be quite honest and quite frank about it, that wasn't even, as the young people say, on my radar. So I had no idea. I really had no idea about the history of the area or the community. And so in doing due diligence, I found out about the historic nature of the area, what had occurred that preceded my arrival, relocating into Chicago, and all sorts of interesting things. And quite frankly, what piqued my interest was what I saw then as opportunities for people in the community, and particularly the African American population, to become involved and begin to get ownership of real estate in the area. I did honestly say over and over again that I thought that purchasing real estate in the area was an excellent idea, because I believed then and still do, and of course the designation has proven me accurate, that purchasing property in the area would someday pay off. I had not even an inkling that one day it would. It took 20 years, but the fact of the matter is, now that the area has been designated as a national monument and is a part of the National Park Service, that designation has presented endless possibilities. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about cultural economic development, because at the time, I knew really nothing about it. I only know what I saw and my small vestige of business acumen, that I thought it just would be a good investment. And so what's happening now is, one of the things that happens in cultural economic development in the area, the National Park Service has swooped in and, you know, presented this tremendous array of opportunities if one is in a position to do that. And what I see is there's a risk. There's a risk there now that is presented because of the lack of information. When people say knowledge is power, that is very true. So if people don't understand, people in the community, I mean, they don't understand how they actually have power, but they need to step up and access that power, they will sit and do nothing, and outside developers will come in, and then when you know anything, there's this enormous amount of tourism attractions and opportunities and supporting businesses that emerge as a result of tourism activity or interest. Then the people of the community are left behind, and that is just not right, it's not fair, but I'm not in the position to do anything but inform people, which is what I hope this regular radio talk show will enable me to do, and that is share information about tourism international tourism, the business of tourism, and how it impacts people in general, and not just African Americans, but people in general. I'm talking about the little guy who has an idea, who lives down the street, who might want to has a dream of building a business, a small shop, a novelty shop where he builds widgets or just small things that he can sell. But the fact of the matter is, a business like that is what they call a supporting business for tourism activity. And that is one of the things that I hope that we will be able to benefit people in general, not just in Chicago, but nationwide, worldwide, because this kind of activity exists worldwide. It's not just in Chicago. And I hope that I'm able to convey that, and we can talk about some of the things, some of the people who have written about cultural economic development that is impacted by cultural policy, and point out probably, hopefully, some of the different places in the different cities, because it's not just in Chicago. But I also want I would be remiss if I did not say that the intentionality for me is to also to convey or expose the listening audience to the human potential that is involved in this area. Because when most people think about tourism, they think about the huge attractions, the skyscraping hotels and the theme parks and that kind of thing. There is that. That is a part of it, but that's not all that there is. And okay. I can only speak to my personal experience, and that is the operator of the only Black Labor History Museum worldwide, I might say. But and so we are a tourist attraction, but people who come to our museum, it's not just that they want to know about A. Philip Randolph and the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, who happened to be the first African-American union in the world to sign a collective bargaining agreement with a major U.S. corporation that happened to be the Pullman Company. But I also want to hope, as we move through this in every show that we do, I want to be able to spend a small amount of time talking about these men, because they left a valuable legacy. And so I hope to be able to discuss and share with the listening audience the valuable lessons that were left to us by these men, discussing the life lessons and legacies of the International Ambassadors of Hospitality, is what they were called. But the human side, the civic side, the spiritual side, because I believe that those are the things that we have lost as a people, and as a nation. There's so much cruelty in the world, but that's another conversation. I won't go off there.
Okay.
But I hope that I have shared with the listening audience a glimpse of what this show will be about.
Okay. You know, you mentioned some things with me being in the field of human potential, which is to expose those gifts that we have that we don't really realize that can really work for us. It's interesting that you spoke about the Pullman Porters, and especially about the work that you've done to bring everything out about as much as you can at this point about those guys and how they were such examples of success, of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, becoming leaders and just doing what they did the best to leave the legacy so that those who came later on would be able to understand that. And it brought to mind a quote from a book that I had been exposed to called The Pullman Blues, and it's written by David D. Parada. Maybe you'll have him on the show very soon. But he had a quote in that book that came directly from one of the porters, and I want to share that today on your program, because
Please do.
I think it's so clear, and, you know, it can be such an example for those of us who are up and coming and becoming young adults, and even some of us who are still learning to be an adult. But he said, his direct quote was that his greatest philosophy in life, number one, was love, respect, and peace. And since those three things go together, when you have those, you know happiness has got to be there somewhere. It's going to fall right in line with the rest of those things. And he said, speaking in that time, which is very apropos to what's happening today in some communities and not being able to expose all of the wonderful things that are available to us because we've been kind of sidetracked with the glamour of something else other than real life. He said, he often wondered, he said, and I often say, what a wonderful world this would be if man was as successful with peace as he is with developing many wonderful things in life to make life so happy and so pleasant and so convenient by the gift of money or being able to buy things. He says that if you could just turn the clock back one time or just turn that book over and peace would be just the thing to begin with. And that's the way he looked at his life at that time. He also said that he wanted to see the bright side of all the time of life, not just, you know, what things that money can buy, but the thoughts and the information that could be shared with our offspring and those to come. So I'm just looking at that, as, you know, as a merchant of trying to work on me, because that's what I do. I'm really working on me when I'm trying to work with them, meaning my clients and anyone else who wants to listen to me to talk about human potential, which is called sometimes, you know, personal development. And it's really, really what we do as anthropologists is just study the life. We study the behavior, the human behavior that we all have, you know, and all of us have something different, but we all have something that's a common bond to one another to contribute so that it, you know, this thing here, we only get one chance at this thing called life. So you want to kind of try to connect with one another to see how things could be made better. So that whole scenario about the L's, the letter L, this particular gentleman, I think his name is Jimmy Clark, who was, you know, one of the employees on the Pullman Railroad, said that he didn't know if he ever heard about the three L's before he started working here. He said, but he understood that because L stands for so many things, one of the grandest things that L stands for more than anything else in the world is love. And those three L's were look, listen, and learn. Those were the three that he learned earlier, but he realized that that was also the avenue to love. And if we learn to love one another, then all those other things would fall into place. So it's just amazing that, you know, 100 years of service, you know, these men, the Pullman porters, as I understand it, came right out of slavery. Abraham Lincoln freed them, and then Mr. Pullman hired them because there was no place for them to work, actually, and they had already been trained. But to have that kind of, trained to work, I mean, but to have the kind of moxie to hang on and keep their dignity and do the best that they could do at what they did do. You know, if there was a chef, then he was the greatest chef. If you were making beds, you were the greatest bed maker. If you were in the Pullman cars, the Brotherhood of the Sleeping Car Porters, you know, all of those things that went with those jobs, they were just excellent at their jobs. And I just think that that is what we want to continue to work on today. This is such a legacy that they've left behind for us to share with one another to make the world the way it's supposed to be, a better world for all of us, no matter what your differences are and what your likenesses are. We're all supposed to pull all of that together. So this is kind of, it's very exciting for me, and having researched some of that and to actually hear the words of someone who was there and to actually have a book that has been written by someone who was taught by the Pullman porters. It's really, really kind of exciting. So what you were saying just brought all of that back to me, you know. And this book is something we should probably tell everybody about. It's called The Pullman Blues by David D. Parada. And perhaps you will get his email if you have it, and people can get in touch with him. And or it's probably on Amazon, I'm sure, and probably in some public libraries. But it is just an excellent read of those things. Cultural economic development falls right in there. What we call tourism, the same thing. It's not just a trip. It is a trip, but it is the trip of life. It is a trip of good life, and using those things that make the journey a better place for all of us to live. And I'm real excited about that.
Well, I think you're right on target. I want to say that this, the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, which was founded in 1995 for the sole purpose of presenting to the public the history of these men that I stumbled upon, that following that trail of information exposed me to the theory or the notion of cultural economic development, is just phenomenal. And it's one of those situations you've heard the reference to lifelong learning. And that is exactly what occurs. But most importantly, most people, now that President Obama has named the area where the museum is located as a Pullman National Monument, we get hundreds of people who come to visit the museum from all over the world, not just Chicago, London, the Netherlands, France, those kind of places. And when they leave, you don't have to be in conversation with them, but you can just overhear the conversations that they have among themselves. And it's all directly related to how they were impacted by the experience, and that's what I call it, of our sharing that those legacies and lessons from these men. These were humble men, family men. They were somebody's father, grandfather, uncle, etc. But they were just ordinary men who did an extraordinary thing by being embracing humanity with the things that they established for themselves, which was a self-imposed standard of excellence, belief in community, the love of family, commitment to family and community. Those are all things that we have lost as a nation, I believe. And I cannot say in more how thrilled I am to be exposed to the BBS radio network that has allowed me or afforded me the platform to launch a show like this, where I can share, among other things, the lessons and the legacy that these men left, because I think that those things can be applied today, not just to African-American people, but to all people.
All people.
Particularly when we have so much unrest in the country because of people, you know, they're talking about somebody's life matter. All life matters. And so I think that we have been given a divine assignment to pass on this information, and that is what I intend to do, among other things. But I want to be able to say, on every show that we do, I want to be able to share some of those pearls of wisdom there. And so when we talk about live at the Pullman National Monument, I also want to, you know, because I'm very proud of the opportunity to be a part of that. I want to let people know more. People, we get thousands of phone calls and emails of people saying, well, what is the Pullman National Monument exactly? I don't know about other monuments, but in this case, the Pullman National Monument is not just one building. It is a district. It is a community that is connected from different stories and themes. And so in the Pullman National Monument, there are themes, and our connection to those themes is that of Black labor history. That is who we are and what we do. That is all that we do. That is our label, but we try to use the umbrella of the museum to follow some of the principles on the request or the demands, if you will, that come to us as members of the American Alliance of Museums and the Association of American Association of African American Museums, and that is museums and cultural institutions today are being asked to do more with less. We're being asked to do community engagement. And so for us, that is not new. That is something that we have been doing all the time. And I also want to share, it's important for me to say that we are a 21-year-old cultural institution that has not been supported. Our operations are not supported by government funding. Yes, we are a 501c3 institution, but I think that that's important because oftentimes when people hear that you're a 501c3 organization, they automatically go to, well, they're living off of, they're operating off of grant money, and that is not who we are. It is not what we do. It is not why we do what we do. We do what we do because we have been given a divine assignment to use the platform that God has presented to us in order to inform and educate people and do our part to make this a better place than what we found it when we came into this world. And I just thank God for Dr. Jarvis, who is the director of the National Park Service, a very special man, and I just believe that when he came to Chicago to say that they were going to designate the Pullman District as a national monument, I was thrilled. But I will be honest and say it was not the notion of being a part of the National Park Service. It was the feeling that I got from this man. It was sincerity, integrity, and respect. And I felt that I could believe what he said. And what he said was that he wanted to work with us. He wanted us to be a part of the National Park Service. And even though he is in Washington, D.C. and left Chicago, I believe what he said, and which is why, as they say, I signed on, because I thought that it was a tremendous opportunity, a life-changing opportunity for that community. I'm committed to that, and I stand by that. But the caution is that, like anything else, politics has the ability to contaminate things, good things.
Okay.
And I just hope that, you know, people like you and Dr. Jarvis are around to make sure that people do what they say they're going to do or what they're supposed to do. The Pullman National Monument is a wonderful, has presented a wonderful opportunity to thrust the community into the billion-dollar industry of tourism. And that is what's so important. It presents opportunities for just ordinary people to work, to benefit from the umbrella of tourism. There's so many doors, and we're never going to be able to cover them in one show. But mm-hmm. but I want to be able to do that. And so I want to also say that the Pullman National Monument is still in the formulating stage. There's something called the public comment period. Currently, they're working on something called the foundational document, which is basically a operations manual for National Park Service sites. And that manual is being written. And so this is the time when people nationwide, it doesn't just have to be in Chicago, can go to the National Park Service site and find the Pullman National Monument and peruse that document and have input, make suggestions, because if an entity knows that the public, the real public, is watching and is interested in what they're going to create to basically be the law for that site, then the outcome, I would venture to say, may be a little different. And so the public comment period ends August 12th. So for all of those folks who are listening and who have the ability to get on the Internet, and I would venture to say that that's everybody, go to the National Park Service website, find the Pullman National Monument radio button, click on it, take some time and go through that document and for yourself make suggestions, not just because of something I said, but you can make up your own mind and make your own suggestions. I think that you could very well be instrumental in helping folks to see that they need to do the right thing or show them how to do the right thing, if that makes any sense. And again, I can't say enough I'm grateful for this opportunity to be able to just to share that information with people.
Well, there's certainly a lot of things going on in the Pullman National Monument, and I noticed that there's some real activity also going on at the Pullman Porter Museum. I understand that the youth have begun to come in. They are beginning to realize what's going on, how lucky they are to be exposed to this information that you have been putting together for years, information and activity that you did with your own children, and now your children are passing it on to other young people, and I'm real excited about that, and I'm looking forward to working with you on that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that Mr. Peterson is doing out there. He's your president, right?
Mr. Peterson is, we're very fortunate to have him. Mr. Peterson is president of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, who happens to be a millennial. And I wanted to share that because not all young people are airheads and not all young people are out to tear up the world and disrupt the world, but he is making a positive contribution and has some wonderful ideas to share, not only with his peer group, but those who are younger than he, who will one day be the movers and shakers of this world. We are thrilled to have him. We are fortunate to have him. He's created something called Museum 44, where hip-hop meets history. And that is a program that is a media program. He hopes to one day have it to turn into a TV show. But it is a program where children, young people, can then go into the media genre, because you have to meet people where they are. And so we have young people who they're really interested in what's on the internet and cell phones and music and videos and the like. But this particular envelope, it is the Museum 44. And by the way, the Museum 44 is the program is named after the 44th president of the United States, President Barack Obama.
I say.
Yeah, and of course, our envelope is history. And so he has put together this program. It's about 3 years old, and so they do all manner of things. You know, they're taught how to interact with people, whether they're black, white, purple, spotted, or dotted, young or old. They're taught to how to interact with people, and that is why someone like yourself, Dr. Evans, would recognize and appreciate and could, in fact, enhance that kind of activity, because you talk about reaching the human potential of a person. But it's just amazing to me that they have been able to do that. And I think most recently we had a groundbreaking ceremony in Chicago for a food chain called Whole Foods, and I don't know where else they are other than Chicago, but they're in Chicago. And so the young people had an opportunity to attend that groundbreaking, and they interviewed the mayor of Chicago, who was very impressed with their presence. They had their press passes and, you know, their microphones and interview questions. It was very professional. So it makes us very proud to see that kind of thing unfold under the leadership of our new young president, Mr. David Peterson. Also, they are doing something. I don't know how much time we have left, but I do want to mention that they are hosting and producing a concert series called The Urban Renaissance, and that will occur on August the 14th at the Pullman National Monument. It's at the on the site, on the grounds of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. And they're producing from the beginning to end this concert series. They're not only producing it, they're filming it so that to present on air. And we are thrilled. These are kids who are 14 to 17.
Wow.
which is phenomenal. Wow. They're 14 to 17, and they are amazed at what they're learning. We have people who are very interested in what we're doing and who want to contribute. We have a world-renowned documentary filmmaker in Chicago by the name of Nate Grant, who has contributed his time. We couldn't pay him what he is paid in the real world. This is the person who created the pilot for the Bernie Mac show. For those okay. people who may be familiar with that or not. But he's traveled around the world creating documentary films on all different kinds of subjects for all different kinds of people. And so just someone with that caliber of skill set and talent to donate their time to these children, it just says to me, it's the kind of thing that we want people to know, because not everybody is thinking that the world is going to fall apart like our friend Donald Trump says. It is. Okay. There are good people in the world who care about their cities, their state, and this country. And I think not a lot is they're not applauded enough or recognized enough. And you know, you get people who are on these award shows and like, and that's good. But the people who are in and a part of a community ought to be commended or recognized for doing good things, I think, sometimes.
Okay. And spreading the good news sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what about, I know that your focus also is, you know, the arts and visual art now is something that we have been looking at with a way to advance the human potential and to wake up those wonderful things inside of people that they don't really know they have. What's happening? Is anything like that happening with the museum?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, actually, because one of the things that we discovered in this cultural economic development envelope, if you will, is that maybe a first step could be what we call placemaking art.
Okay.
And so we got the notion to maybe that is a direction that we ought to go. And I'll tell you why it's significant, because Pullman, I don't know how many people, what people know about Pullman, but Pullman is known for its beautiful architecture. It is known for the history of the gentleman who founded the town, George M. Pullman. And his history and legacy is he built it. He was the first planned community in America. But his most significant is that he developed a what they call a sleeping car. And so they're inextricably intertwined, the history of the town and the company that he created. The town was created to house the employees of the company that he created. And so there really, really wasn't very much history there that connected African-American people, because African-American people worked for the company. They did not live in the town. And so African-Americans did not move to that area until the 1960s. And so when I show up on the scene and I make the discovery of this historical connection, which was the creation of the first black labor union in America was created by the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and those, the membership was made up of the men who they referred to as Pullman Porters who worked for George Pullman. And so the connection for me that I saw was to help people in the community identify, meet their self-interest. And so what we decided to do was to create huge murals to fit into the category of what they call placemaking art. And so throughout Pullman, there is all manner of signs that you can see everywhere that represents other cultures, but never the African-American culture. So what we decided to do is put a huge mural on the side of the museum building that it's only the African-American men who were strategically posing years ago before we even saw this photograph. It was done, in, I think, in the 1920s. And so we had a young artist by the name of Chris Devins, who's a Chicago person who lives in the Hyde Park area, President Obama's neighborhood, who came and we met and talked about placemaking art. So we put this huge mural. It takes up the whole half of the wall, exterior wall of the building. And so even though we've been on that corner for the for 21 years, last year was when we put the mural up, but so it was 20 years, there are people now who drive by and they actually stop to look at the mural because it's striking. It's a black and white mural, but it's positively striking. And so that then opens the window for people to say, well, what is that? Who is that? Now they go do research and in a book, get a book from the library, and they find out about this. Even people in the community who had lived there for years who did not know the connection. And so those are the kinds of things that help. And that's what I mean when I say museums and cultural institutions are being asked to do more with less and to begin to implement community engagement. And so that is, you have to participate in the way that you have the ability to participate. And so our ability to participate is to work with what we have, which is history and the arts. And so we doing that kind of thing and the kinds of things that the young people are doing under Museum 44, where they're producing a concert series, these are all things where people can, you meet their self-interest. Recently, Mayor Rahm Emanuel said something about, he made a comment or he was quoted in a newspaper article that said something about the Pullman history that was then and what's happening now. Well, that's true, but it's a broader array of things other than just creating a factory. You have to, what about the people? There's the consideration must be to include people and not just to provide a job. And again, that's where someone like you, Dr. Evans, comes in. You can have input to help people, enlighten people to understand what that means. And so, yes, Pullman had a history of architecture and a significant history about the company and being the first planned community. But this is today, and today you have a community of people, young people, and it's much different from the 1890s when they first built the town. And so there has to be some consideration for that.
Well, Dr. Hughes, I would just like to thank you. First of all, I'd like to make my commitment to help with those things that you think I might be able to enlighten others with. I'd like to thank you for all of the work you've done for these past 21 years, and I'm certainly grateful for BBS Radio for having you on and you working with them. And I look forward to coming back again when I have something to report. I've got to catch up with you guys over there. So I just wanted to thank you today for having me as your guest. And I hope that we'll be back here again very, very soon. And maybe you'd like to wrap it up. I know we're getting close to the wrap-up period here. So I just wanted to get my thank yous in before you have to close.
I just want to say thank you to BBS Radio Network, and I want to say thank you for those who are listening to Live at the Pullman National Monument, and we will see you next time.
All right, because there's certainly a lot of live stuff going on over there. So thank you.